Welcome to The Great Sending, Season 7, Nailing the 12 Mission Theses to the Church Door. The Great Sending is a series of devotions about God's heart for the world beating through you, edited by Will Soans and published by 10th Power Publishing of Elgin, Illinois. This is episode number 3, where we pick up the 12 Mission Theses with thesis number 6. Remember, these theses provide an identity of who we are as a Missio Dei missional apostolic people. Number 6. We believe, teach, and confess that the Lord tells us by word and example that the gospel must be sent to the unsaved if they are to hear and be saved, and that the unsaved will not on their own find their way to church in order to hear the gospel. Where in the Word do we find these things? Well, we start with Romans 1:16. There we are told, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Later in that same book of Romans, chapter 10, beginning with verse 14, we read, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed that what he has heard from us? So, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Yes, the Lord does tell us by word and example that the gospel must be sent to the unsaved if they are to hear and thus be saved. And that the unsaved will not on their own find their way to church in order to hear the gospel. Right on the heels of number 6 comes thesis number 7. We believe, teach, and confess that the divine sending includes the sending of the Holy Spirit to empower the sent into their everyday world and everyday lives to proclaim the excellencies of him who called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. We need look no farther than 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. My friends, the unsaved will not on their own find their way to church in order to hear the gospel. That's why the Lord tells us by his word and his example that the gospel must be sent to the unsaved for them to hear and thus be saved, and that this divine sending includes the sending of the Holy Spirit to empower the sent into their everyday world, into our everyday world and lives, where we proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. This takes us to thesis number 8. We believe, teach, and confess that the Lord continues to call his church from the nations. That's a una sancta, the one holy Christian church. He calls us around the world to work mutually in sending and receiving laborers for the harvest until the day when our Lord's mission is complete. Some of these words I'm sure are familiar. We start with Ephesians chapter 4, the first verse. There Paul writes, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one according to the measure of Christ's gift. Think about these words in light of Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 10, 1, where we're told that Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And he called him his 12 disciples, calling them to himself. And he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. Wow. Yes, the Lord continues today to call his church from the nations around the world to work mutually in sending and receiving laborers for the harvest. And this will continue until that day when our Lord's mission here is complete. Well, I think we can add one more thesis to this episode. So we go to Thesis number 9. We believe, teach, and confess that all matters of ritual, programs, and practices are not the essential core of God's mission, nor is the core of God's mission mere performances or the presence of liturgical ministry or missional exercises or activities. Consider these words of Jesus in Luke 24, verse 44, when Jesus said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we find these familiar words, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And while this is a rather wrong passage, it's a long passage, it's pretty significant. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks demand wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God, and Christ is the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Yes, we believe, teach, and confess that all matters of ritual, programs, and practices are not the essential core of God's mission. Nor is a core of God's mission mere performance or the presence of liturgical, ministry, or missional exercises or activities. Well, that was thesis number 9. This was episode number 3. I hope you come back for episode number 4. Lord Jesus, anoint us with your Spirit, that we might recognize the gifts that you have given to us and fulfill the mission you have given to us, that of sharing your wisdom, Christ crucified, with the world. In your name, amen.